Father, we thank you that you're the one who's at work through your church. We thank you that you're the one who brings us together, that it is your desire to connect with us through your son Jesus, not just to leave us on this planet, but to be involved intimately with what's going on. We thank you that you've established your church with your son as the head to guide us. We thank you that you've put people into leadership roles to be able to minister effectively. And Father, today we thank you that you'll be showing us what it is to be members of your church, members of the body of Christ. As such, we pray for the needs of the members that are here, the brokenness that's going on, the healing that's needed, those that are sick and healing, those that are shut in. Father, we ask you to do your work of ministry amongst them. Show us how we can be effective at that ministry ourselves. And Father, we pray that you'd be the one to be glorified through that. Bless this time we have in your word today. We pray that your spirit would do the work in our hearts, that which is said is multiplied into what was heard, and multiplied even more by what's applied into our lives and as we go out into the rest of the world. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. So if you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As I said, this week we're going to be looking, for these few weeks, we're looking at the church. This week we're going to be focusing in on membership to the church. Specifically, the three things I want to try and convey to you is that members of the church are under Christ, that members of the church are in communion with one another, and members of the church are on mission as a people of purpose. You'll notice that as we go through these scripture readings could really be applied to one or more of those different points we have this morning, and that should be expected, right? Because you really can't have a biblical church unless all three of those components are coming together. Just like you can't consider a church without headship that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like I said earlier, headship is that we're all gladly and lovingly submitting to Christ as our head, our Savior, our sustainer and creator, the one who humbled himself and submitted to the Father's will out of his love. We also look at we can't have a church without the leadership. Remember, we talked about leadership being biblical and not worldly. The elders gladly and lovingly submit to Christ as men who are willing, eager examples of Christ beyond reproach and able to teach. So headship and leadership and membership. Next week we'll talk about discipleship. But under membership, the members of the church recognize the leadership that Christ has established as the elders and the other biblical leaderships. And this is another type of loving, glad submission to Christ. We don't just say members need to submit to the leaders. We say that Christ submits to God, the leaders submit to God, and the members submit to the leaders, and we all submit to one another, and we all submit to Christ. But Hebrews 13:17 gives some very specific words on this. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, because that would be of no advantage to you." So we look at that scripture, but we need to be clear that church leadership or church membership is far more than doing what you are told by the leaders. I want to be very clear that some false teachers, they will distort these scriptures to say that you must do always and exactly what the leaders tell you to do or else. Some churches even say if you don't listen to the specifics of the leaders, then you won't go into heaven. This is exactly what the religious leaders did in Jesus' day, isn't it? Instead of explaining the scriptures and letting the Holy Spirit apply them to your heart, they shared their own rules and they shared their own specific applications. Let's be clear, child of God, you simply cannot follow men's rules to get to heaven. You need to follow what's in the scriptures. You need to have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, elders and other leaders, they provide instruction, they provide direction, they provide correction when it's needed, but they should always be pointing you towards Christ. They should always be pointing to towards Christ. This is our first point about church membership, that it needs to be under Christ. It needs to be under Christ. Ephesians 4 is where we're going to start. Let me read verses 11 through 16 to you. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I just love this picture that Paul paints of the church as the body of Christ under the head of Christ. You can belong to many things. You can belong to a club. You can belong to a school. You can belong to a gym. You can belong to a country. You can belong to a community. But Christians belong to Christ. Christians belong to Christ. If you're a Christian, you're not just a follower of Jesus Christ. You were bought at a price. Jesus himself gave up his life on the cross. He took on the full wrath of God, the punishment for your sin that you deserved. Your admission price to come into the church isn't just walking through the door. Jesus Christ himself paid for you to be part of his body. And he's the one who mediates to his Father on your behalf for what's going on and leads the church even today. Jesus rescued you from the power of sin and death. You were a captive of sin until Jesus set you free from sin. But through faith in Christ, you're sons and daughters of God, and you're adopted into his family, and you're adopted into his family forever, forever. Romans 8 tells us, for you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoptions by son, by whom we cry, Abba, Daddy. We cry, Abba, Father. And if we're children, then we're heirs. We're part of the inheritance, right? Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We need to understand that being a member of the body is being a member of Christ's body, and we are under Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that we are Christ, and Christ is God's. Christian, I hope we make that clear. You belong to Christ. Anyone who is not under Christ cannot be part of his body. You don't just belong to a church. You belong to Christ. And Christ never loses his grip on any that the Father has given to him. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you belong to Jesus and you belong to the body of Christ. It's not like there's some different option in this. I'm going to go ahead and follow Jesus, but I'm not going to be part of the body of Christ. The church, it's his idea. He's placed you into a specific place in this body, under him, under Christ. As a Christian, you are to be a member of the body of Christ. The body needs you in order to grow. I hope I've stressed that point about church membership as for those people under Christ. But I also want to point out that it's those that are under Christ need to be active members of his body. So, Christian, let me ask you the most fundamental question. Can you grow under Christ, as Ephesians says, to the fullness of Christ alone and on your own? Can you grow individually, alone, separate from the body of Christ? Can you grow to the fullness of Christ on your own? Look back at verse number 12, Ephesians 4. biblical leadership, its purpose, the whole purpose of biblical leadership, the reason we bring it out, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Not to do the work of ministry, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to make sure they have what they need, that they're recognized, that they're serving in the right place, that they're brought along and put on the path where they need to be, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Look at the next part. For the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Not just for your own personal growth, but for building up the entire body. Look at verse number 13. Building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith. We are all built up together to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Of Christ. We all together are built up as the body. Are you under Christ? If not, look at the alternative to being under Christ. Look at the alternative of being a Lone Ranger Christian. Like, look what Paul says in verse number 14. If you're not part of the body, then you're like children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Listen, this ripple effect of COVID that we've been working through for so many years now has left many people thinking that they can plug in and turn on church without getting out of their pajamas. Sure, it might feel good to hear some great wisdom from some of the leading national preachers, but even they will tell you that you cannot mature in Christ, you cannot reach the full wisdom of God, or grow up in every way unto Him who's the head without being part of a local church. Look at verses 15 and 16. It reminds us that we're speaking the truth in love, that we grow up in every way. We grow up in every way who's the head. We grow up together. We grow up all at the same time in unity. We grow up in every way into Him who is the head. We grow up into Christ, from whom the whole body, or under Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part was working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Brothers and sisters, we are under Christ. We grow up into Christ, being conformed into His image more and more every day as the whole body. Yes, that means every single person. As the whole body is working properly. The whole body builds itself up in love when it's working properly. The elders, the leaders, have the responsibility of equipping the members of the church to do the work of the church so the church will be built up in Christ, under Christ. This brings us to our second point about church membership. The church membership is in communion. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Church membership needs to be in communion. Now, we celebrate communion monthly when we break the bread and we drink the cup in remembrance of Christ. And our practice here is that we pause after all the bread's been distributed, after all the drink has been distributed, right? We pause after receiving the bread and cup so we can all partake together and we all partake at the same time. This is an example that our communion with Christ is lived out in our communion with one another. It's not just, I do my own thing with me and Jesus. My communion with Christ is lived out with others in the church. Now, communion, it's more than just being together in community, right? You can join any community you want to. Go onto your computer and hit 6 buttons, and all of a sudden you can have hundreds of friends in a community, right? And the word community is thrown around all over the place of, we have things in common, so we're community. But it's not communion. It's not communion, right? This word communion comes from common, as in common faith. We have a common faith in Jesus Christ. I like to think of it this as us sharing together a common union, communion being a common union in Christ, and a love and harmony that come through our love for Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, A lengthy passage, but I want to read the entirety of it so you can get the gist of this. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what would the sense? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, get this, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You know, I think of when I came in this morning, Tristan, my son, he was so happy with the idea that he was going to pass out your bulletin. And in fact, he was going to do it in a whole brand new way. You know, we have a little table in the foyer up there at the top of the stairs. And as you walked by, he wanted to go ahead and stick out his hand to give you a bulletin by surprise. Makes me think, remember the old Addams Family show? Remember the character Thing that was in the Addams Family? Thing was just a hand. It was just a hand. He had a starring role, but Thing was just a hand. I used to think that was one of the funniest characters from the Addams Family, right? Now, I'm not suggesting you should watch the show by any means, but the idea of a hand running around the house on its own is simply absurd. How much more absurd is it for the body of Christ to have different parts running around on its own? That's what Paul says here, isn't it? Unless the parts of the body are connected to one another, they are useless. Church membership needs to be in communion. Now, Paul uses the example of this poor eyeball. Now, just for a second, put yourself in the eyeball's place. Think about it. You got a bunch of eyeballs sitting here in the church. Weird picture, right? Put yourself in the poor eyeball's place, right? What's the eyeball's biggest complaint? Nobody sees things the same way that I do. I'm out of here. Well, of course nobody sees things the same way. You're an eyeball. What's the matter? Haven't you been listening to these sermons? Oh, wait, that's right. You're an eyeball. I forgot. You're not so good at hearing. Maybe you should check in with the ear, right? And one of the things over the next couple of weeks as we get ready for annual meeting, we need to be checking in with the ears, right? Doug and I are going to be asking a couple of questions about the church with different members. We want to be thinking about it because different people have different perspectives. We need to understand those things. We can't just go ahead and say, you need to see things the way I do because I'm an eyeball, right? That's what Paul's saying about us. We can't be existing without being in communion together where God has placed us. We need each other. We need to be operating in communion with each other. I think of the world around us, right? We are all swimming. Every one of us, we're swimming in this filthy sea, in this culture of me, 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 me. My needs. Everything is all about me. Everything in our culture, when you turn on the TV, is about me, me, me. I am number one. I'm going to look out for myself. That's the environment that's all around us. That's the culture that we're swimming in. And when that splashes over into the body of Christ, it tears apart the work of God. Verse 18 says, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. You know, we had a ministry leaders meeting last night with the deacons and the deaconesses. Yeah, we talked about you, and we talked about how you all fit into the body, but we'll more on that later, right? But as an example, I want to be able to tell you, it was good. I was there at the meeting with all the ministry leaders, and I was able to share my vision for 2023. That's what eyeballs do, isn't it? They tell you what they see. But our vision for 2023 is so much better because there were hands sitting around the table and we weren't able to, not to talk about just what we see, but what can we do, right? The ears around the table were able to talk about the needs of the body that they hear, right? The feet were able to talk about where we need to go as a church. Yes, I need to be able to share my vision, but I also need to be willing to put on glasses as an eyeball to help correct blind spots in that vision. We need to be in communion with one another. We can't just say the entire body needs to be just like me. We need to be in communion because God has placed us into our own places in the body for his purposes. Look at verse number 21. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Church membership, it's not all about me, me, me. It's about being in communion with the other parts of the body of Christ. This mutual submission needs to carry over from our submission to Christ to our submission to leadership to our submission one to another in the body of Christ as God puts the body together. Again, verse number 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we may think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable parts that require. But God has so composed the body, get it? God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there can be no division in the body, but that the members, get this, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, whatever their role in the body, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ. And individually members of it. Now, Paul's making the point here. Some of the critical parts of the church, some of the critical parts of the body are not in public ministry, but in the unseen ministry. We talk often about the parts of the body that we see, those that we can recognize through anatomy, right? You know, the bones, the muscles, the organs. But do you ever hear anyone bragging on about how wonderful it is that God has placed them in his body to be interstitial fluid? Let's all say that together. Interstitial fluid. My daughter, the nurse, is like really worried that we're going to start doing weird lab experiments up here. No, that's not the case. But what is interstitial fluid? In between the cells of your body, you've got fluid that's going on. And it makes it so everything can move and work together. This isn't just the blood that gives oxygen to the different parts of the body, right? But this is the interstitial fluid that keeps everything moving around. Without interstitial fluid, the body would be like the rusted Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. Brothers and sisters, nobody gives credit or claim to the less honored parts of the body like interstitial fluid, the less public ministries of what's going on. And yet, the private ministries of prayer are critical. The private ministries of caring for each other are critical. The private ministries of reaching out to each other in need are critical to the body. We need to be thankful for all parts of the body. Otherwise, we would be like that Tin Man stuck in the forest in The Wizard of Oz, unable to move, unable to do anything for the glory of Christ. I say this so you do not minimize your role in the body based upon what is seen. Every member of the body has a role, a responsibility for God's glory because he's put that together. Every single member of the body is needed, and we need to be operating in communion with one another. Let's look again at verses 25 and 26. That there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We don't have a hierarchy of the different things we value in the church. Every single ministry, every single participation that we have is to be valued. Romans 12 tells us that those that have different have gifts Romans 12 tells us that we have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us, and we need to use them according to the grace that's given to us. Paul goes on in Romans 12 to say it's in proportion of our faith. If it's prophecy, it's in proportion to our faith. If it's if service, it's in our serving. If it's the one who teaches, let it be in their teaching. If it's the one who exhorts, then it's in the exhortation. If it's the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, that whatever gifts you have to do, whatever gifts you have to give, you need to give them fully, right? Whatever your part or role is in the body, you need to do it wholeheartedly, knowing that God is the one who's given you the abilities, God's the one who's giving you the gifting, God's given you the compulsion, and the Holy Spirit enables you to do it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that the point is that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Everyone must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is not just about giving and tithing. This is about whatever God has given you. How do you give that to the body so that we can all grow and be built up together in the fullness of faith, right? I want to look at one last part of, turn to Colossians 3 real quick. I want to look at one last part of being in communion. It's how we deal with each other. Now, as a church, we come together and we're involved in signing a covenant that defines how we relate to each other, how we interact with each other, some of the interoperations we have one with another for what's going on. So if we're going to talk about being in communion with each other, we need to understand what happens when maybe it's not so easy to get along with each other, right? Let's face it, we're going to be spending eternity together as the people of Jesus Christ. We're going to be spending eternity together in heaven. We might as well start learn about how to get along now. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. This is the advice he gives the church in Colossae. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. This is how the body's supposed to be operating in communion, right? Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Don't just go on repeating the complaint to other people. Forgive as the Lord's forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And he emphasizes that this is a corporate peace, right? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's one of the reasons we contribute and share together when we come together on Sunday mornings. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So part of being in communion is not just that we do the things we're supposed to do, but that we interact with each other, that we have the relationships with each other of loving and kindness and being the church of Jesus Christ. We need to be looking out for each other. We need to be growing together in that. So let's get to our third point. Membership, it's under Christ. Membership, it's in communion. But membership is also on mission. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 for our third point. Now, if you remember the early church, remember how the early church started, right? It was the Feast of Pentecost, the festival of weeks. 50 days after the Passover, there was a requirement that your families would come into Jerusalem and that they would give an offering. So Jerusalem was filled with people that came from all sorts of different areas. There's a whole long list of places I'm not going to be able to pronounce, where all these people came together to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the other 120 that were praying, Peter came to this crowd and started sharing with them the truth of Jesus Christ, that they had crucified Christ and that they needed to be saved. Those that responded, thousands responded That was the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ, those that responded. Thousands of people from all over the area, different areas of where Judaism had gone, all of them got together. They come together, and that's when the church was. They fell in love with Jesus, and they fell in love with each other. And they didn't go back home. There were no motels to put all these people in Jerusalem, right? Where did they have to live? They had to start living with each other. They had to start taking care of each other. If all of a sudden all these people are in from out of town, how do you feed them? How do you clothe them? How do you interact together with this sudden community that's been built together? They need to be able to operate as the church. And if you think about this, if you had two families all of a sudden assigned to your house and they showed up there, would it change the way you operate? Might take you a little bit longer to get into the shower, right? So the friction, the tension, plus coming from different places would be huge. And yet, look at how the church was built together and how they started in Acts chapter 2. This diverse people from all over the place with all these different gifts, abilities, ways of thinking, they were all under Christ. They were all committed to each other. It says in Acts 2:42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? That's the scriptures, right? They devoted themselves to the fellowship of the saints together, spending time with one another, praising God. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, sharing in communion and meals. And they devoted themselves to the prayers, to be praying together for the things of God and the kingdom of God. And look at what that early church looked like. It says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temples together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When the church is acting as the church, when the church is under Christ, when the church is in communion, God is going to be adding to it day by day those who are being saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. The church is not trying to, the mission of the church is not to go ahead and build itself up as a strong fortress church to defend itself against the evils of the world. The purpose of the church, Ephesians 3:10, you keep on hearing it, is to make the manifold wisdom of God known to the powers and principalities, right? That the angels, that the demons would know and recognize that the Spirit of God is working on the people of God so that they're being changed and transformed away from the ways of the world and into the kingdom of God. God is always going to be at work in doing that. Our mission is not just to build up a strong fortress church where we're protected. Our mission is to be able to demonstrate the love of Christ to the lost and dying world that's around us. And if we are under Christ and if we are in communion with one another, then God's going to give us opportunities to exercise that mission. Flip back a page to Acts 1, chapter 8. Flip back a page to Acts 1, chapter 8. This is where Jesus tells him before he's taken up. He says, you're going to stay in Jerusalem, but you'll receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is their marching orders. You will be my witnesses, not just one to another, but to the lost and dying world. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses further away in Judea. You'll be my witnesses further even to those Samaritans that we don't really talk to. And you'll be my witnesses to the end of the earth. The church is on mission to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I love that our covenant starts off identifying it, right? When you're becoming part of the church, a member of the church, you're agreeing to our covenant together of who we are as a church, and it begins with being on mission. Let me just read this to you. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we joyfully and solemnly enter into covenant with one another. This local fellowship of believers exists to glorify God by showing his love, building up believers, and it doesn't stop there, but spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The church needs to be on mission. The church needs to recognize what they've been called to. Let me just, as you're probably in your heads already, thinking about the Great Commission, right, from Matthew 28. When Jesus says to his disciples that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, this is mission, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Spirit, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Jesus makes it very clear that the responsibility of the church is not to make converts. It's to make disciples, those that know the teachings of Christ, apply them into their lives, and are able to communicate them to others. Jesus makes it clear that our responsibility is to teach them the ordinances that are in the scriptures of baptism. I'm very excited that we're going to be having a baptism in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much. It fits well in the teaching schedule. Amen. Just a joke there, Mace. So, but it's part of their mission, right? It's part of our mission as a church. This is what we do, not just a scheduled event. It's what we do. We make disciples of Jesus Christ as part of our mission. We're going to spend more time on that next week. Next week is very much focused on discipleship. But for now, let me just close off. If you could turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to close off with a reminder too of who we are as a church, who we are as the members of the body. First Peter chapter 2. Let me start in verse number 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up to salvation. If you indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, if you know Christ and you're under Christ, you're being built up together. Verse number 4 says, and as you come to him, a living stone. Jesus is the living stone that's rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. If you don't have it marked down, verse 5 is a good one to underline, that you yourselves, the body of Christ, are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house. Think of this. You are a living stone that God is putting into his house and his place for his purpose, for his function. Whatever your shape may be when you start as some rough, unhewn stone, he's going to shape you perfectly fine to fit in to where he would have you be so that you'd be able to be part of building up the body of Christ. Maybe you're coming in rather oval-shaped and you need to be a rectangle. Thankfully, God has other people in the church who are specifically designed to make sure that they're chiseling some of that rough stuff off of you, just like you're helping chisel it off of them. Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. As the church comes together, it doesn't say that it just all fits in smoothly. We need to work together towards that end, right? But think of yourself as a living stone that's coming together, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, membership in the church is not just membership in an organization. It's an opportunity to come together and being built up into Christ so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your desire for your church, your desire for your people is to make the truths of your Son known to the world. I thank you that you have chosen and decided to place us into this world at this time. You've put us into this place that we can do the ministry you've called us to do. It's not by an accident. It's not by circumstances. You're the one who's very much in charge of your church. You built everything that's needed in your church. And Father, we thank you for that. I pray that even as we leave today, that you would encourage and build up your church members with the word they've heard this morning. I pray that even as we go out, we remember that we're a church that needs to be under Christ, that we're a church that needs to be in communion with each other, and that we need to be a church that's on mission. Father, I pray that you'd open the doors that need to be opened as we go to share the gospel this week. We just ask you that in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.